It's the Stay Connected podcast right here on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman. We are at our 69th episode. Holy moly, I never thought they'd let us get this far. But we are having fun today talking about the new TFT set where we left off last episode, which you can listen to on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com under the Stay Connected podcast tab. We also have a special announcement later in the episode at the very end. Stay connected for that. All right, let's get into it right now, TFT. All right, so new set has dropped. I'm super excited because I actually love TFT. I was having a little bit of trouble last season. I think this season, though, I'm enjoying quite a bit. I hope the updates that do come out don't ruin the set too much. I feel like that's kind of how it was last set. So that was set 9, yeah. And it went great to start, but I definitely feel like it kind of just fluttered out into the mid-late game of the set. This one, whole new comps, whole new champions. Of course, they're still keeping a lot of the same compositions and items from last set, but this will definitely cycle in a little bit. You know, looking at it right here, let's go through some of the new sets that you can run and synergies that work. So, Bilgewater is one of the best compositions so far on release. You know, I don't go a game without somebody having at least some Bilgewater champions a little bit. And Nyla is one of the main contributors to that. She is an absolute domination in ranked games. And that makes it really hard because some people will, you know, contest you and then you won't get the champions you're looking for. Or nobody's contesting you. You get exactly what you're looking for and then you win the game. Unless somebody has an even more broken comp, which there are some really strong ones out there. So, Bilgewater attacks and abilities marks enemies. That mark stores a percentage of damage dealt to the enemy by these Bilgewater champions. Marked enemies are then struck by a cannonball after 1.5 seconds, dealing that stored damage plus a flat value as physical damage. So it goes all the way up to 9. You can have 9 Bilgewater active. However, there are only 7 Bilgewater champions, so you're going to need to get some Toma traits. I think you can craft Bilgewater emblems using spatulas. So that is good. However, there are also other ways to probably get them as well. So this damage goes from 90 plus 30 damage dealt all the way to 650 plus 150 damage dealt. And then cannonballs damage nearby enemies as well. That's at 9 Bilgewater champions. So that's a good thing to have. Heading on over, we had Aatrox last season. He was Slayer Juggernaut, but now there is a new thing just for him and Nefiri, that is Darken. I mean, actually, I think Darken was in last set, but it was only Aatrox that got it. Now Nefiri is getting it. So when these Darken die, they possess the nearest ally champion, granting them their weapons power. Weapons powers become 50% stronger, and then weapons powers are described in each Darken's ability tooltip. So with Aatrox, I know for a fact that if the person holding his weapon survives for a certain amount of time, when they get eliminated, Aatrox is revived. I've been in plenty of situations where it's close to the wire and Aatrox comes back alive and then wipes me. It is a very good thing. I don't know what Nefiri's is. It's not as good as Aatrox, I'll say that. It's just not as good. Fiora over in Demacia. Now, I know Demacia is coming over from last patch or last set. However, it has found new strength. Demacia last set was one of the most nerfed into the ground compositions you could possibly go. You know, because it was so strong in the beginning. It really was. Kale was OP if you could get her to a 3-star, and then you got radiant items on top of it. So now you're still getting radiant items. However, now Fiora is a menace to deal with. I mean, it's just such a strong composition. There's only a few that actually beat it when done correctly, especially when she has radiant items on her. That makes the problem 10 times worse. Heading on over, we got this new composition. I don't really know how I feel about it. Ishtal. So you're going to gain elemental hexes, which give a different bonus from game to game. When an empowered champion deals ability damage to an enemy, they set themselves on fire, dealing an additional 30% of damage dealt as magic damage over this time. There's only 3 champions from Ishtal. You can have 4, but you would need, obviously, an item, and I don't think you can craft an Ishtal emblem, so you're gonna need to find it another way. It's interesting. It kind of reminds me how Void was when it first came out. You know, it deals different effects game to game. Kind of interesting, but it's not something I would really see as a top tier build. It's solid into other things. Like, I could see Ishtal Rogue being a very good thing. However, Ishtal by itself isn't going to win you games. Noxus. I want to talk about this because this is another one coming over from last set. However, it is also one of the most broken and strong builds you can run right now because of Mordekaiser. He got added back into this set, and I love that. I love the champion. I love what he can do. And if you put proper items on him and get your upgrades, you're unstoppable. You're almost as unstoppable as Nyla. It's a very strong build to go, especially if you get the RNG luck for it. Now, another one that is kind of new is Gunner. Gunner is new in the fact that the champions have been updated a little bit. You obviously have Gangplank and Graves. I think they messed with the percents a little bit of attack damage per stack that you're getting. At 2 Gunners, it is 6%, and then all the way at 6 Gunners, which you'd have to get an emblem for, 25%. That makes it a little bit more interesting to get. Speaking, though, of Gangplank, he has his own special ability because he's a 5-cost champion called Reaver King. So when he uses his cutlass when placed in the front 2 rows and his pistol when he's placed in the back 2 rows, so you could really make him either a front line or a back line. Now, most people that I see are doing this back line. However, I think there is a special case scenario for doing frontline, especially if you have a lot of tanks to block him for him to be able to pop off with his abilities, because he does do a lot of magic damage. His special ability, however, is what really is carrying him through these metas. It's, you know, pretty much whenever he gets his ability, he summons a giant ship, a giant pirate ship that sails across the board and crashes into the first enemy it hits, dealing magic damage within a 3-hex radius. So it is a very big AoE damage dealing ability. So if you put, you know, perfect amounts of AP on him, he'll one-shot your team. He can do it. It's very, very tough ability to deal with, especially because whenever it passes or hits with the crash, it's empowered and gains attack speed and immunity to crowd control. So all the allies that this ship is passing, it's buffing them as well. Could you imagine that? Especially, get this, level 3 Gangplank, his damage on, first of all, it's going to be very hard to get a level 3 Gangplank, but people, you could do it. It wouldn't be the first time somebody got a 3-cost 5-star. It does 9,001% bonus damage. Excuse me? And its ignite damage is 2,500. Wow. I don't want to be up against that, but I'm definitely going to have to try and go for a reroll Reaver King build. That sounds just insanely fun. And then finally, heading into the last new ability, or new trait, I should say, that we have this set is Vanquishers. Vanquishers kind of is, I don't even know what they replaced. I think it was Sharpshooter, was it? Might have been. But damage from Vanquisher's ability, critically strike, or can critically strike, and Vanquishers gain bonus crit strike chance and crit strike damage. So, it has, what is this? It has 2, 4, 5. You can have a total of 6 the trait goes up to. However, there are only 5 Vanquishers. And the percents actually don't get too bad. If you went a full Vanquisher comp, even at 4, you have 35% crit chance and 30% crit damage. That's a lot of damage, especially, get this, the champions that are involved in Vanquishers is Nyla, which we already talked about being obscenely strong. So imagine her with 35 extra crit chance and 30 extra crit damage. And then Xayah. Xayah's also a sneaky good pick that you could have for TFT. You know, I wouldn't say she's as good as some of the other 4 cost carries that we've covered so far. But there is reasonable doubt that, you know, with the Ionia bonus that she gets, you could have a top team with Xayah as your main carry. It's not completely out of the ordinary there. I mean, let's look at the top team comps right now. Right now, the top team comps involve Piltover, Bruisers, Challengers, which we talked about, Bilgewater, and Noxus. Some people make a claim that Sorcerers is one of the top builds in TFT right now, and I certainly see the potential in it. However, I think when compared to these other builds, you don't have enough damage output with Sorcerers. Maybe if you gave Swain different items, but the items they have listed here, they have, you know, Silka, who's a very good AP carry, and Vel'Koz, who's a very good AP carry, as your main damage dealers. I think they're really underestimating Swain's abilities right there, you know? It really stands to fruition that I think Sorcerers needs a little bit more love before I would consider it top tier. There have been some item changes, of course, that we talked about in the last episode, which I'm not going to bore you with, but one of the most important items that I think came from this set is Gnasher's Tooth. It adds AP, it adds attack speed, it does a bunch of things for your AP carries, as well as Crown Guard. Crown Guard shields the holder for 30% of their maximum health for 8 seconds. When the shield breaks or expires, they gain 40 ability power. That's exactly what you want for someone like Swain. That's what I think should be going on him, not these other items. They're certainly good, but it's missing the potential there. You get what I mean? Oh, it's just insanity. But I'm actually enjoying this set. I love the new portals that they added in. Some of them, though, drive me up the wall. I really hate, by the way, Ishtal, Serpentine River. I got it for the first time and I was like, what is this? It's really weird. Or no, sorry, it wasn't Serpentine River. It was an Ishtal one that's not listed here, which is very surprising that it's not listed here. And it's terrible because instead of augments, you get a completed item anvil. That's terrible. I hate that. I like having augments, actually. I think they changed up the game enough and they could really bring you back. But not having augments, if you're in the depths of last place and you don't have an augment that can carry you, you're kind of done. You know, a completed item isn't gonna help you, friend. It's really not. An augment will. It buffs everybody. But that's just my two cents of it. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to look at our dates and things for Worlds, and then we'll get into some more special news right here on the Stay Connected Podcast 93.5. Check out our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com to get all of the Stay Connected episodes to learn more about esports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Stay Connected Podcast on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman. What we just talked about was TFT set 9.5. I'm really enjoying it. Right now, I think Bilgewater and Noxus are some of the strongest compositions you can go. It's how I try to plan on hitting plat this season. I'm already halfway to gold, a little bit more. So, you know, once I hit gold, plat will be just down the river. And then I don't think they added emerald actually for TFT, so it should just go straight from gold to plat, but I'll have to see about that. Let's talk about Worlds, because we are getting ever so closer. We now have all of our teams for Worlds. Obviously, we talked about Korea, we talked about China, we talked about NA, but for EU, the three teams obviously representing, they are seeded now officially. We didn't know where some of them were going to be seeded. G2 has the top spot, Fnatic has second, and Mad Lions has the third seed spot for LEC. Heading on over to the qualified for play-in stage, that is people looking for one last chance to get into Worlds. You have PSG Talon, Flying Oyster, GAM Esports, Team Whales, Detonation Focus Me, Loud, and Movie Star R7. That's going to be an interesting one. You know, I think the brackets there are definitely interesting. It looks like we have Loud and GAM playing against each other. I'm going to go for GAM with that one. They are a very good team, and they, you know, they have shown up before. However, Loud has also, you know, representing Brazil, they've made decent progress before in tournaments. Obviously, for R7 or PSG Talon, I'm gonna go PSG Talon all the way. I think they have improved over the year from where they were last year. And then, you know, obviously Team Whales, they're not facing anyone else because they're still waiting for somebody to qualify. This is over in bracket B, by the way. And then finally you have Detonation Focus Me and Flying Oysters. This is honestly the real mix up. I think Detonation Focus Me has a better lineup. I think they're going to take it, but I do not think they're going to take it for free. That is my guesses for the play-in stage. And then obviously we'll have to see what happens with groups. That is going to be an interesting day indeed. this is all going to start. Play-in stage is round one. That is starting on September 10th. Has already started on September 10th. It is going to go through till October is when we officially start Worlds, and then Worlds runs all the way through November. So I'm actually very excited because Worlds actually starts the official day one day after my birthday. So that's a little birthday gift to me. Gonna have fun with that. All right, though. Let's talk about what we're doing, because there is not going to be a next episode of the Stay Connected Podcast. I know, it's very, very shocking, but we are ending it here, our journey together, talking about the big wide world of esports. The Silver Boys, who are an awesome group of guys, they will be taking my slot. So if you have listened to me during this time of day, I highly, highly recommend you keep listening. They're good group of guys talking about actual sports, so you'll have fun with that. But I just wanted to thank everybody who has listened or will continue to listen, because our episodes are going to stay up on the Stay Connected podcast, which you can reach on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. The reason we are stopping this episode is because I am pursuing other interests. I love the opportunity that I was given here, and it has been fantastic going through episodes, planning episodes, going to the LCS. That was one of my favorite moments, and it feels like it was yesterday, even though in all reality, it was a month or two ago. And it's really strange to think about that. I started this podcast thinking, oh, maybe I'll just make it, like a weekly series or something like that. I'm not really sure what I want to do in the future with this show. And now here we are. What, a year or two later, 69 episodes for you to listen to and enjoy. It has been a wonderful journey. However, it is at this moment that I regret to say that you are no longer going to stay connected. You, in fact, have been disconnected.
3, 2, 1.
Thank you for joining me on this journey on 93.5. We are Fox Sports. My name is Jared Eastman. This has been the Stay Connected podcast.